This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
During the Football World Cup, I talked with Luke Doty from Sky News Sport, and a lot of people told me how much they enjoyed it. So I thought, look, let's make it a regular thing. So joining me on the phone to talk about the week in sport is Luke Doty from Sky News. Good morning, Luke.
Good to be back with you. I tell you what, my mum must ring in a lot requesting it. Who else would have?
Well, no, it wasn't your mum, Luke, I have to say. It was genuinely independent people who don't know you from a bar of soap. But I won't ask you if you watched the launch of ABC News 24 last night, Luke.
No, I've actually seen just a couple of little bits of it this morning, but I'm squarely focused on the sport. I have to have a little bit of a look later.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit weird to have them standing up, but we better not talk about that since it's your competition. I think the boxing, though, has been the big controversy of today, hasn't it, Luke?
Yeah, it has been indeed. It's backpage news. It's very rarely is boxing backpage news in Australia. This is a fight between Danny Green and Paul Briggs that lasted just 29 seconds on Wednesday night. Now, this was odd already for the going into it. For one reason, Paul Briggs, in 2007, he retired. So he's 3 years in retirement. He was 37 then, and he retired because he said his body and his mind, more importantly, wasn't up to boxing anymore. Just too many years of punishment. The second reason this fight was odd, even before it started, was that there'd been a flood of money with betting agencies, punters betting for Danny Green to win via knockout in the first round. So you have two good fighters, punters betting some five-figure sums. We're talking sums like $50,000, $10,000, on a betting option that really isn't a very good chance of coming off. Someone likened it today from one of the leading betting agencies to putting $50,000 on getting the lotto numbers right every week. So,
it was looking a bit sus then from the start.
Well, definitely. And the bookmakers are rarely wrong. They rarely get taken for a ride. That's why they make so much money. So it comes out, Paul Briggs down, knocked out in 29 seconds in the first round. Now, I'm not insinuating in any way, shape or form that Paul Briggs was part of this betting sting. But what has happened is that a whole heap of money has gone on this option for Paul Briggs to be knocked out in the first round. And it's come off just 29 seconds in from a punch that many people thought probably wouldn't floor your grandmother.
Mm. But then it's emerged today, hasn't it, that he was really quite unwell, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was indeed. And it's so sad to see. Paul Briggs was one of the hardest men, not only in Australian boxing, but in world boxing. Some of his fights on YouTube as YouTube phenomenons, they've been viewed millions of times just for the punishment, not only that he could dish out, but also he could take. And he has had a hard life, but he was a genuinely nice guy. Now, it's come out, we've learned over the last 24 hours, that Briggs was going through sparring partners like crazy, apparently. Now, the real truth has come out that he was actually fighting against amateurs. They had to rip the pros out when he was training for the fight because they were inflicting too much punishment on him. Some days he didn't know what gym he was in. He was trying to get into people's cars that weren't his. He just was a bit disoriented. Before the fight even started in the dressing room, apparently, he was reduced to tears. That comes from one of the leading journos in the News Limited Press this morning who knows a lot about Paul Briggs and boxing. So there's just things that weren't right with Paul Briggs before this fight even started. The other thing is that the New South Wales Boxing Commission, this fight was meant to take part in Sydney, Katrina. Mm. They said they wouldn't sanction this fight. Danny Green didn't like that, so he took the fight back to his home state of Perth. That got sanctioned there. So a lot of people were saying, oh, it was just a nanny state in New South Wales. They won't let anything go, you know. And then it seems now that they've been justified their decision because, really, this fight should not have gone ahead. Paul Briggs, those in his camp say, look, he just wanted the payday, that he wanted the money for it. There's some reports he got up to $20,000 for this fight. But when a man's health was at stake, he got rushed to hospital after this and apparently now is still in a bit of a state. So you just question whether it was worth it. It has damaged his legacy, no doubt. Mm. He was, as I said, remembered as one of the greats. Now he will be remembered as the man who got caught up in a betting sting and got knocked out in the first round by Danny Green in 29 seconds.
Yeah, sad story all around. Luke, the other thing that's been going on has been the Melbourne Storm salary cap. That's been big in the news. What's happening with that?
Yeah, it has been indeed. For those who are not up to date with this story, basically the Melbourne Storm got done for salary cap rorting, systematic and cheating in the NRL. So every team has a salary cap, just over $4.1 million they're allowed to pay their entire top 25 squad roster. The Melbourne Storm went over that for five consecutive years by some $3.17 million. So this isn't just a short oversight from 2006 to 2010. This is systematic, this is deliberate, this is two sets of books, this is players signing two contracts, although it has come out in the report that players weren't knowingly signing, they didn't know that the second contract that they were signing was an illegal one. Now they're not allowed to play for points in competition this year. They've been stripped of premierships from 07 and 09. This week, they've appointed a new CEO. So basically, News Limited, which half owns the Melbourne Storm and also is half partnership with the NRL still, cleaned out the directors of the Melbourne Storm and have put in place a new man by the name of Ron Gorsey, who has absolutely no experience in sports administration before. So tell you what, for your first job in sports administration, this is something to take on. He has an almighty mess to clean up. They've got stories, too, of former CEOs of the club signing stat deck stating that the club was under the salary cap for those years. Those have now gone on a report, and as you can imagine, the Victorian Revenue Office, the Australian Tax Office, the police all want to get a very good look at this report that has just been completed on those 5 years at the Melbourne Storm to see who knew what and who was cheating, and because there's implications, there's people's salaries here, there's tax fraud and all the like. So there's story that keeps on giving, really, and it's been going and going and going, and it's not going to stop anytime soon.
I've got two questions for you, Luke. Do you think it's going to affect the long-term future of the Melbourne Storms club? Like, do you think they'll be, will be able to recover?
I think they will be. They're an extremely strong brand because they've been able to be so successful, and we've now found out, of course, that they've been successful because they've been cheating, but they have really entrenched themselves in the Victorian sporting market, and the New South Wales Rugby League, as it's seen in Melbourne, it's sort of an us-against-them mentality. I remember I was in a lift in Melbourne recently, you know, coming back from covering a sporting event there, and someone hadn't held the lift for this Victorian couple earlier in the day, and they said, oh, it must be from New South Wales. So there's that instant, there's that us-against-them mentality. So they will rally behind this team, and they will get there, and they'll be fine. There'll be some player movement today, I'm hearing as well. Greg Inglis, one of their biggest players, possibly to the Brisbane Broncos as early as this afternoon, but maybe Monday.
Okay. Now, the other thing that interests me about this story is, do you think it's likely to come out that other clubs have also been breaching the salary cap, or is this a bit of a one-off?
Well, not to the extent of the Melbourne Storm. There's always been suspicions that whenever a team builds and builds and builds, sustained success in the NRL is pretty rare. What the salary cap is meant to do is even out the playing talent across the NRL. So you can only have 4.1 million. The other team can only have 4.1 million. So there's no team sort of hoarding $10 million worth of talent and then the other team sitting there on 2 million. So basically when a team goes on a run of premierships, then people start to get a little bit suspect. So I don't think to this extent we'll ever see it again or have seen it in the past, but there has been minor breaches in the past, but definitely not to the extent of the Melbourne Storm.
All right. Now, before we go, I hate to just focus on the scandals, but Tiger Woods, now, after his sex scandal, things have kind of gone downhill for him, haven't they?
Yeah, have done indeed. And on the course, his golf has been horrible. It's like watching me play week in and week out.
I'm sure no one would want to do that, Luke.
No, exactly. I spend more time in the trees than... Anyway, endorsements down $27.3 million. For 2009. $27.3 million.
What astounds me is that someone can earn $27.3 million in a year, let alone that their salary could drop by that much.
Isn't it crazy? And he's still made more than $100 million for the last year. So don't feel sorry for Tiger. He's not on, you know, going to be surviving on toast and Vegemite for the next 12 months. He's doing okay. But still, a $27.3 million drop. Five of the biggest companies in the world dropped him over the past 12 months. But he's still doing okay. He does have that little matter of the divorce settlement with his wife, Elin, to come. That figure's still to be decided, but he'll be okay, Tiger.
Oh, my goodness. $27.3 million. It's just astounding, isn't it, what these people can earn?
Oh, it's crazy.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Luke, for the chat this morning.
My pleasure.
Before you go, I have to ask you, are you getting more sleep these days? When I was talking to you last time, you were up all night for the World Cup, you had a newborn, and you were starting work at 3:30 in the morning. Now, are things looking a little better for you?
They are indeed. The World Cup is over. As much as I loved it, it's nice to get some more sleep back. The Tour de France is still going on through the night. That doesn't have... I love my cycling, but still, it's not the World Cup. So getting a lot more sleep. Benny's sleeping through the night. Things are well at home. So.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay, I'll chat to you next week, Luke.
See you, Katrina.
That's Luke Doughty from Sky News Sport, talking about all the latest news and scandal from the world of sport.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.